Then I heard a loud voice. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down," or hurled out. I don't think that I need to spell out what a mess our world is in. Just about everybody that you speak to is struggling to understand what is going on. Well, to understand what is going on, there's no more important chapter in the Bible than Genesis chapter 3. It tells us that we shall never understand this world unless we take seriously what it says about the devil. And just in case we're in any doubt, Revelation 12 and verse 9 makes it absolutely clear that the serpent of Genesis chapter 3 was the devil, and that what he did then, he has continued to do ever since, to deceive the world, just as he deceived Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us that Satan has tremendous power to deceive and to tempt us, and it warns us, therefore, to keep a healthy respect for him. But having said that, the Bible also tells us to resist the devil, and it gives us great encouragements to overcome his efforts to destroy us. For example, we need to realise that God and Satan, good and evil, are not equal powers in this warfare. Satan is a created being, and like all creation, subject to God's rule. And that means Satan can't do anything, ultimately, without God's permission. And that should be a very important encouragement to us in our spiritual warfare. Now, what I want us to do is to look at what Revelation 12 says about the way Christians are to overcome what is perhaps Satan's most important and primary activity. And that is the activity of accusation. And I want us to see how God has given us the victory over Satan in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's begin by looking at Satan as our accuser. Satan is described in verse 10 as the accuser of our brothers, accuser of the brethren, that is, Christians. He accuses them before our God day and night. And verse 9, as I've already said, makes it very clear that this accuser is the serpent of Genesis chapter 3, that ancient serpent, it says, called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. And in verse 3, he's described as an enormous red dragon, with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his head. And those horns and crowns or diadems symbolize Satan's formidable authority and influence in our world. And then verse 4 gives us a picture of how easy it seems for Satan to exert his authority. His tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them on the earth. See, with just a wag of his tail, and he scatters the stars. Now, here is the crucial question. What kind of power and authority has Satan got? In Revelation 12, Satan and his forces are involved in a great spiritual warfare against the archangel Michael and his forces. Michael represents God's people, who themselves are involved in this battle resisting Satan. Now just think about it for a moment. If the battle with Satan was just a question of naked power, Satan's expulsion from any position of authority would not be a real battle, would it? Why? Because God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And so it's vital for us to realise that even above what the devil does in tempting, deceiving, and demoralising us, his real power lies in his activity of accusation. That's what verse 10 is telling us. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of our brothers, Christians. In fact, accuser is the very meaning of the Hebrew word, Satan, and very close to the meaning of the Greek name given to the devil, Apollyon, which is slanderer or destroyer. Satan, you see, is the self-appointed prosecuting counsel of God's people, determined to destroy them, determined to destroy you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think for a moment of the beginning of the book of Job, where Satan, bold as brass, stands in heaven and says to God, "Let me harm your servant Job." What Satan is doing there is accusing Job. That's what he's doing. He says to God, "See that man Job? He thinks he's a very spiritual and a very righteous man. But he isn't, you know. Deep down in his heart, there are all kinds of evil and resentment. You take away his health. You take away his family. You take away his money. And you'll soon hear him curse you." And that is the devil all over. He is determined to prove that in the whole of this universe, there is not one single human being who loves God for loving God. And that's always been his strategy throughout the ages, to impugn the righteousness of God's people. And so his authority is primarily a legal authority. Think about it. It's a legal authority. He's the accuser, the prosecutor of God's people. He accuses you, doesn't he? He accuses me. And so it's not enough to say God's power can easily overthrow the devil. Of course he can. But Satan's authority does not rest on his power to withstand God's power. No, it rests on the fact that he can accuse us. Think of it this way. Because God is holy, because God is just, Satan exploits that in his accusations against us. He's a cunning enemy. He's out to turn God's holiness and justice into a weapon against you and against me. And because Satan did entice man into sin, he does have a case against us, doesn't he? He knows you and I and the whole human race is involved in that moral rebellion against God. He knows God made us, mankind, as the pinnacle of his creation, and set his heart on us for a special intimate relationship with himself. And so he's able, therefore, rightly and justly, to be able to accuse us before God. And Revelation 12 and verse 10 pictures him doing this avidly, day and night, looking for every opportunity to accuse us and to expose our sin in God's eyes. And that's what makes him such a formidable enemy. He does have a case against us. If he didn't, we wouldn't have to worry about him, would we? But he does, because we're sinners. And in this respect, the devil, who is a serial liar, doesn't have to lie to point out our wrongdoing in our lives. You see, we have a vile, a cunning enemy who is not easy to shift out of God's presence with his accusations. It's not easy to hurl down, because he does have this case against you and against me. And so we need to know very clearly what it is alone that can deal with Satan and answer his accusations against us. And that, of course, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of God's Son into this world to live for us and then to die upon the cross for our sins. That is the central resource that God has given us to overcome the wiles of the enemy. And without it, without a clear grasp of this gospel and a personal experience of it, we will be defeated. Do you realise that? We'll be defeated. And the first thing we need to realise, if we're going to be able to resist Satan's accusations in God's presence, is this: that we cannot even begin to do so through our human resources. Paul put it like this, didn't he? Quite simply, he said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It isn't. We must have God's resources, that is, supernatural resources, in order to overcome the wiles of the enemy. So let's look at this gospel for a few minutes, that is the only answer to the devil's accusations. The gospel is found in embryo in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, which we read earlier on, where after man's fall into sin, God pronounces judgment on Satan through a deliverer, through a rescuer, a saviour. God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And the gospel finds its fulfillment in the coming of God's Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, in his life and in his ministry, and then decisively in Jesus Christ's death upon the cross. You see, that promised crushing of Satan's head and the bruising of the Saviour's heel, Jesus, took place at Calvary, because it is there that the devil's authority was decisively broken. It's described in our verses in Revelation 12. Jesus is the male child in verse 5, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Verses 7 to 9 describe this war in heaven involving Michael and his forces, trouncing Satan and his forces. This is the crushing of Satan's head. He, Satan, it says, was not strong enough, and they, that is Satan and his forces, lost their place in heaven. Great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Now, some Christians find it very difficult to believe this picture of a war going on in heaven. But just think for a moment at how Michael, who is representing God's people, how he hurled the serpent out of heaven. Verse 11. They, that is God's people, Christians, overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see that? Michael is representing the people of God, but it is the people of God who have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. John is saying here that what Christ achieved in Calvary was the legal answer to all those accusations that Satan throws up against us. In his death on the cross, Jesus Christ legally justified us, declares us righteous before God. Listen to John describing this in his gospel, for example, in John 12 and verse 31 and 32. Jesus here is speaking just before he's going to the cross. And this is what he says. He says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And John adds this comment. He says, he said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. You see, Jesus is saying, in my death, I will drive out Satan, the prince of this world. And that is when the devil and his angels were hurled out of heaven. It was at the cross. Yes, at the cross, this amazing event took place. Verse 10 of chapter 12 of Revelation, the accuser of our brothers, of the brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, was hurled down. What Jesus achieved on Calvary was the answer to all Satan's lawful and just accusations against God's people. In his death, we're put right with God once and forever by his precious blood. Jesus' death achieved the overthrow of Satan. And Michael's victory is just a heavenly consequence of the earthly victory of Jesus Christ at Calvary for his people. Let me just repeat that. Michael's victory is just a heavenly consequence of the earthly victory of Jesus Christ at Calvary for his people. And you know, here is an extraordinary thing. When this took place, when this amazing event took place at Calvary, the devil himself did not know what God was doing in Jesus' death. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 and 8, talking about the message of the cross. He calls it there God's secret wisdom, God's hidden plan, which none of the rulers of this age understood. That is, Satan and his forces. None of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul is saying there, if the devil had realized what Jesus was doing on the cross, he and his spiritual forces would never have incited the powers that be, that is the earthly rulers, to crucify him. But Satan didn't know. He could never have imagined it. He couldn't believe, could he, that God would do this for sinful people like us. But it was always the plan of God. It was always what was in God's mind from the very foundation of the world, even before man fell into sin in Genesis 3. Isn't that marvelous? What Jesus did on the cross was to pay the penalty for the sins of his people. That's why he gave himself up, even, says Paul in another place, isn't it? Even to that appalling death on the cross. He was receiving the full, just, legal penalty that God rightly demands upon the sins of the world, upon your sins and upon my sins. And because the blood of the Lamb has been shed, the devil no longer has a case against God's people. Those who are trusting Jesus Christ can say with the Apostle Paul, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's people? Certainly not the devil. No, think about it. The only person now who has a charge to lay against you and against me is Jesus Christ, whom we crucified. But here's the most amazing thing of all. Jesus is not the prosecuting counsel of those who put their trust in him. He is the defense counsel. And Jesus, not Satan, now stands in heaven on our side, pleading our case. And so we can say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, no one can lay any charge against us. Nobody at all. Nothing, not the powers of demons, not the powers of hell, not the powers of earth, not angels, not death, not life, nothing, nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. In all these things, amazing, isn't it? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now listen again to what John tells us has happened to the devil in being thrown out of heaven. Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury because he knows his time is short. Satan is furious because he knows that he no longer has any grounds for accusing God's people in heaven. He knows his final judgment is just a short time away. And so in his malice, he is out to create havoc on earth. Yes, generally in this world and everything that is going on. You can't understand what is going on in this world without bringing in the activity of Satan. But particularly to create havoc on earth for God's people. Verse 13, when the dragon saw that he'd been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the man-child. Satan hates God's people. He's out to do his worst. But here's the point, and this is why we Christians still on earth can rejoice with heaven. Satan cannot possibly succeed, because Jesus' work on the cross guarantees our perseverance. And so all that malicious satanic activity that we see in this world is a sign not of his strength but of his weakness. It's just a last ditch stand. Yes, he continues to rampage around this world, stirring up trouble for those who hold to the testimony of the Lamb. And let's be honest, that fight can still get very, very nasty. But his final counting out is absolutely guaranteed. The decisive victory has been won. Jesus Christ is reigning and he is building his kingdom. Satan's last ditch stand is a futile one. It's not a threat for our survival, thank God. Satan's head has been crushed. He suffered a mortal blow, and his hostility is just, very simply, a death row. Jesus once said to his disciples, when they came back from an evangelistic mission, he said, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. As the gospel began, right at that early stage, to be preached, Jesus saw the beginnings of the end of Satan. Jesus saw that scurrilous authority which Satan had exercised in heaven, accusing God's people. He saw it was finished. Jesus saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. As the gospel is preached, as people put their trust in him. And that's the ultimate reason why we can resist the devil, because his power is broken, because his time is short. And so there is really just one question that we need to answer today. And it is simply this. Have we received? Have we believed this gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Are we trusting this Christ who shed his blood for sinners so that nobody, not even the devil himself, can separate us from God's love? That's the question. Because if you and I are ever going to be free of the vicious accusations of the devil, the only way is to know that Jesus Christ broke his power for us on the cross. It's only through the shedding of his blood for us that we're going to be able to resist his accusations and send him fleeing from our lives. Let us pray. Let's spend just a few moments quietly in prayer as we think about what God has been saying to us this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we acknowledge in your holy presence that the power of evil is rampant in our world, in this land in which we live, and in our own lives. And we acknowledge freely that we cannot break that power ourselves. And so we pray that you will open our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the victory that he has won, and kindle in our hearts saving faith in him, so that it may be said of us too that we overcame the devil through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. For Jesus Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Amen.